Hi, this is Bonnie Gillespie, and you're tuned in to The Work.
It's Tamika Simpkins, everybody.
Hi, everyone.
So excited to be here.
I am so excited to have you here, Tamika. Yes. Thank you. Return guest from season
one. Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Woo, that's how we do it.
That's how we do it.
I love it. I love it. So let's start off with, obviously, you've been on the podcast before. You've been in my life a really long time. How did we first connect, if you recall, how Self-Management for Actors and my work got on your radar?
Right. So you'll correct me if I'm wrong, because that's what you do. But I originally discovered you and met you for the first time in 2007 when I submitted for the Cricket Beach Showcase. I auditioned and I was lucky enough to get in and have fun and rock. And we've been jamming ever since.
Yeah, you were phenomenal. I remember you coming in and just killing it. And I was like, oh, yeah, I want to be in the Tamika business.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I was so excited. I was so excited. So, yeah, that's how we've been jamming ever since.
Yeah, I can't believe we're coming up on a decade. That's crazy.
I know. Goes by so quick.
It's true. And the good thing is we haven't aged at all. And I love that. So,
yes. Cancer season in the house.
That's correct. Correct. All right. So before that, let's go to your beginning. How did you decide you were going to be a storyteller? What was your process like? Was it from childhood? Did you go to school for this? Take us through from the beginning.
So I'll be quick, but
do you hear that echo?
You're good?
Okay. There it is. I thought I was having technical difficulties. So, and when I was in grade school, I went to a middle magnet school, and they had part of the curriculum, drama classes, dance classes, and things of that nature. So it was part of the curriculum. It wasn't extracurricular activities. And so I think that's where the seed was planted, because everybody got to perform in the winter production as was the spring production. So I was always in dance classes. I was always in some part of the productions that took place every year. And so that's where the seed was planted. I kind of got moved more toward being more intellectual as I got into high school. As you are married to a Marine, my father is a Marine. And as much as he wants to be supportive, and he is very supportive, he's like, that's not a job. I need you to get a job. So that's where the computers started to come into my life. Luckily, computers, we now can be creative with technology. And so I'm able to merge the two things that I love together. So when I became an adult, I said I can make my own damn decisions. And I decided to go back to acting classes and start doing dancing again and taking it seriously, looking for agents, studying the business while I was still in corporate America doing the computer thing. When I left corporate America or got laid off, because I prayed for it every day. I prayed for it every day. As much as I loved everybody that I worked with at that particular job, it was killing me. I had high blood pressure at 26. And so luckily I was able to intern at a casting office in Philadelphia. And I did that and I learned so much, and I like to think I was very great there. So after a few months of interning, they asked me if I wanted to be a casting associate in their commercial department. And I learned even more. Oh gosh. Like you said, you learn so much by seeing what people are doing wrong. So I learned quite a bit, and I recommend anyone, if you can intern for a casting office or even a talent agent office, you learn so much about this business. And it's important that you learn it as opposed to relying on other people's just telling you their experiences, because it's ingrained in you and you get it and it stays with you. And you have that knowledge. You know the knowledge. You can't say, oh, such and such told me whatever, whatever. Like, I experienced this. I've seen it. This doesn't work. This does. And so since then, I've just been inspired and lucky to meet some amazing people and moved out here almost 10 years ago, August 16th, 2016, and 2006. And ever since then, I was like, okay, I want to live a life with no regrets. And so I've been here and lucky enough to keep doing it.
I love it. Tamika, that's fantastic. I love that you were in a smaller market and you found ways to connect with the buyers there, not just for your pursuit, but for what you could learn about the business from those folks. Do you mm-hmm. recommend that people make the move very quickly to Los Angeles or do that sort of grow where you're planted thing? How do you know when the time is right to make the big move?
I think you have to feel it. And this is the importance of surrounding people, being surrounded by people who support you. Because I never would have moved here had it not been for my awesome circle. There are three people in particular that really pushed me over the edge because I kept coming up with excuses. Money was the big thing. And then some money came into my life. And everybody says, well, you can't use that as an excuse anymore. And then I said, well, I won't be able to get a job. Everybody's like, you have a bachelor's of science in computers. You can get a job in the middle of the ocean if you wanted to.
It's true.
Somebody gave me a dare. They was like, you know what? I will stop pestering you about this. If you go on Monster, put your resume up. If you don't get any hits in the past week, I won't bother you about moving to LA anymore. I did that. I used his address. Literally 15 minutes after I put my Monster profile up, I got two headhunters calling me about jobs in Los Angeles.
Holy cow.
Having a computer background and having computer experience is very high in demand. And so I've worked in many places. I've worked with small businesses. I've worked at Fortune 500 companies. I've worked in help desk, so I know how to troubleshoot. My curriculum is in programming, which is very rare. And then also, if they might want to fill their minority quota, it's perfect.
Take it.
I don't have a problem using what I got to get what I want.
Correct. I love it. Do you recommend that folks get a degree or at least some kind of certification or experience in things that aren't related to the arts?
I think it's up to you, but you have to love it. Mm. And you don't have to get a degree, but as Seth Godin says, I believe, you have to put in the hours.
Yeah.
Okay, you don't need a degree because there are a lot of people doing things that are not related to their degree and they're doing it successfully. But you have to put in the work. You have to gain the knowledge to be successful at what you're doing. So whatever it is, you just know if you're going to start from scratch, just know, okay, I got at least 10,000 hours to put in before I am considered a go-to person.
And then once you're considered that go-to person, you can raise your rates, you can be mm-hmm. selective, you pick and choose mm-hmm. the projects that feel good to you. And then right. you're always having fun, even with your, what we call the survival job, the thing exactly. that finances your life between your acting gigs.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's why when some people move out to LA, yes, you can make it as soon as you get here. It's rare, but you should know you're going to put in probably about a good decade of work to get to another level. Just know, okay, I have a decade to go. And sometimes when I think, oh, I wish I was doing this, I wish I was doing that, and I'm like, Tamika, you haven't hit your decade yet.
It's so true, Tamika, and I'm so glad you're bringing this up because I think a lot of people with the LA move in particular get it in their head. I know I did when I first moved out here in the early 90s. I was like, I'm going to give it a year. And all that meant was I had a ticking clock the second I moved here, which was August of 93. And it just meant I was going to be boomeranging back to Georgia by September of 1994, which was the right. case, because you can't make anything happen in a year in any market, I think. Like, just right. relationship building itself takes so much time.
Yeah, I knew that. I actually stayed under the radar for the first year. I was kind of treating acting as a hobby while I was still working. Luckily enough, a week after I moved here, I got a job at Warner Brothers. And it was a contract job. It was only supposed to last a month. It ended up lasting about 3 years. And it was great. But I did try to keep my corporate life and my acting life separate. And then someone saw me on TV and found out. They were like, you're an actress. I'm like, damn it.
Yeah, that's the one problem about trying to keep your acting secret, because yeah. The whole goal is to get out there and be seen. And exactly. They're like, no, that wasn't me.
Right.
and how did you balance that corporate environment? Because I know now your work is a lot more freelance and project to project. Because you can pick and choose much more than when you first got here. How were you able to create some artistic life and work-life balance with that mm-hmm. corporate career?
Well, luckily, you know, usually in the beginning of your acting career, you're doing like 99-seat theater jobs, which usually happen at night. You're taking classes, which usually happen at night. If you're lucky enough to have an agent, you can go during your lunch break, or you can try to figure it out. You make it work. And then if it gets real busy, hopefully you have a good communication with wherever you're working with corporately, that you say, you know, I'm doing this thing on the side. There are some times where I will step out during the day, but I'll come back. I'll stay and work late. Regardless, for me, my work always got done.
Right.
So even if I went out, I knew that at the end of the day, my work was going to be done, because I was going to do what needed to be done, what I was obligated to do. So I would stay there till 10, 11 o'clock at night to make sure things got done. I don't want to get fired. Tamika likes to eat.
I hear you. It's brilliant. So how did you create those first relationships when you got here? Had you laid the groundwork with some folks before you left Pennsylvania? Had you done that online research? What sort of groundwork did you lay to be able to dive in and build a community and get connected with folks?
It was a process. Luckily, working as a casting associate, as you know a lot of actors. So... luckily, they helped ease me in, because it's a culture shock. You're coming, especially from the East Coast, or you're coming from a different territory. You're like, okay, whoa, this is different. So again, it's surrounding yourself with amazing people that understand what you're going through, that will be supportive, that will help lift you up. When you're like, no, I don't know this for me. I want to go back to what's comfortable, because there are going to be times of uncomfort. And over time, you know, I started to do little projects. I would still self-submit. And I tell people all the time, having an agent is great, but who's your first agent? You.
Correct.
You are the first agent. So get out there and hustle as if you're the first agent. My first two TV jobs were from self-submissions.
Talk about that a little bit, because I think there's a myth out there that people can't book certain tier of roles without a team.
Mm-mm. You can definitely do it. My first TV gig that I booked when I was here was The Shield, and it was probably maybe about 8 months after I got here. Luckily, working at a corporate job, I was able to sit at a desk all day, so I could be on Actors Access every 15 minutes, you know, checking in between bathroom breaks or something like that. And a featured role for this particular part for their series finale came up. I submitted. I got called in. I went during my lunch break. And what was funny was, because of the drive, I needed to go first. I didn't have time to sit and get my actor mode or whatever. I was like, I need to be in and out because I need to be back in Burbank. Yeah. And I went in there. I did it. I said, this is what, and it's so funny because of the time constraint, I wasn't like, oh my gosh, I'm just so happy to be here. I'm like, I need to get in and out. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to bend down. I've already prepared this. Are you able to do that with me? And they were like, sure. And I did it. And I cried and blah, blah, blah. It was about a mother whose child was being raped by the Mexican cartel. So I went in there. I did it. I didn't have time to talk to anybody in the lobby. I was like, thank you very much. I'm out. And the next week I got a call and they said, you booked it. I was like, oh my God. Are you serious? Because I didn't stand. I kneeled down. I kind of told the session runners and the associates what I was doing.
It's going to go like
right.
this.
They were like, I didn't even give them a chance to say, okay, do this. I was like, can I do this? Okay, great. That's what I'm doing.
And now, Would you say that that's having worked in a casting office, there was a part of you that felt like, you know, that those types of things come out of actors' mouths all the time, and it's not telling them how to do their job. It's you've made some choices and you want to get to business.
Yes, you could do that if you're professional and you go in there and you do it. And they want to see something different. They don't want to see what everybody else is doing because they've seen the same thing a kabillion times. It's like, okay, can somebody make a choice?
Yes.
Don't ask us what we need. We want to see what you can bring because you have the talent. You're the talent. Show us what talent you're bringing. And that's one of the great things about being behind the door and interning at a casting office, because you see, sometimes it's not about that. Sometimes it's making a choice, or sometimes there are things beyond your control. The things that you hear after you leave the room is astonishing. You're like, really? I love producers, but you're like, really?
I know.
Okay, I'll watch you what.
I so remember those first days of interviewing casting directors and having some of them say, you know, do you want to sit in and you want to be with us after sessions and hear the conversations we have with producers? And I was like, a journalist, of course.
Right.
I want to soak up all of that. But as an actor, I was horrified by some of the things that I heard. But it became very clear very quickly how often it's not personal, how often the decision is made before you've even opened your mouth. Mm-hmm. Like, they just see you, lay eyes on you, and they've already figured out everything you're going to do or not do. And mm-hmm. it has sometimes nothing to do with how you look or what your performance was. It's energetic mm-hmm. so much of the time. What do you feel led to your ability to get a team? Because you were talking about like the work you were able to do before having an agent or manager as a part of your team. How have you been able to translate your personal hustle into now having folks that are doing the hustle for you and with you?
I think personally, just from my experience, if you show people the drive you have, if you show them that I'm not just going to sit back, cross my hands, wait for you to call, wait for you to email, wait for you to do all this work when you're technically only getting 10 or 15% of the check. I'm going to show you that I am going to hustle 10 times, it's 9 times as hard because I'm getting 90% of the check. And you have to remember, you are driving this career bus. This is your career. You're the one that's supposed to lead the charge. You can't sit back and hand over your career to someone else. And so I like to think that helps bring people in to me, because I'm not just going to sit back whether I'm with someone or I'm not. I have agents and I have a manager, but I don't sit back and wait for them. I know they're going to do what they do because we've had that discussion. They've interviewed me, I've interviewed them. So I know they're doing what they're doing and they know I'm going to do what I do. I actually found my manager through my website. I didn't even go out and search for him. He was actually looking for someone of my type. He was looking for an African-American female to add on his roster. He was new into management. And so I did what you taught us to do. I did the research. I didn't find anything on him because he was new in management, but I didn't find anything bad about him. And as you always say, always take the meeting.
Always take the meeting.
And so we took the meeting and we met in Starbucks, and he was like, I realize it's unorthodox for managers to reach out to you, but I found your website. I was looking through theater companies, and we've been jamming since 2011. And
he's amazing.
And like we went on a 3-month trial basis. 2 weeks after I signed, actually, we didn't sign a contract. We were just doing a trial basis thing. I got a role in an independent feature called Saving Lincoln with Tom Amadides. I can't remember his name, but he was big on Scandal. And he played Abraham Lincoln. And then like a week or two after that, I got an audition for Shameless, which I booked. It's a process, but then it also goes back to what I originally was talking about. You know, if you have an online presence, I think your website is the business card that you use when you're not around. You know, if you have something to show people out there, this is what I'm doing. They can't call you. They can't email you. They want to look you up. And he looked me up. He saw my reel. He saw my bio. He got a sense. He's like, okay, I want to meet with her. And he and I have been jamming ever since.
And of course, your website is stellar because that is a part of your secret weapon arsenal.
Yes.
Is your ability to put together a beautifully branded site for yourself. Do you think actors sort of think of their website as an extra and something that they don't need to do, and they'll spend money on headshot after headshot after headshot when what they really might need is a really good looking website?
Yeah, I think it's important. I think a lot of people just think, oh, a website is there. Yeah, I can use one, or it'd be nice to have one. But I don't think they understand the importance of it, especially with technology continuing to grow. People are working around the clock. People are working in the middle of the night. They're doing sessions. They're looking up things in the middle of the night. If you have no online presence and you're just leaving it up to Actors Access, which is great, or LA Casting or any of the casting sites, that's just a little bit of who you are, as opposed to if you have your website, people get the whole gist of you. They get a sense of your personality, not just your acting brand, but your personal brand. They get a sense of, oh, Tamika likes to garden. You know, Tamika also works in computers. What, a Black lady work in computers? When did that happen? You know, I feel it's important. It is important because it's your online business card that works for you when you're not.
It's so smart. And it's easy because once it's done, then it really is up there. It's your 24/7 brand manager. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, and it can feature up things like your demo reel and clips from various projects. Something you mentioned about when you were talking about the manager reaching out and having done his research on you was being a member of a theater company. Mm-hmm. Can you speak a little bit about being an on-camera and a stage actor? Because I know a lot of people find that balance is a little tough.
It is a little tough, and that's where the hours come in. That's where you have to put into work to know, okay, I'm on stage, and this is how I need to be on stage, and this, I need to be bigger. As they say in theater, show it, don't tell it, because you're on a bigger scale model. As opposed to if you're on camera, they say, tell it, don't show it. I might have those backwards, but because the camera is so intimate, and you're right here, as opposed to your theater audience is out there. You need to be bigger. And sometimes people don't remember or don't get that you need to adjust.
They're so well practiced at the stage acting that then they forget to bring it down when they're auditioning for camera, where you can just have a thought and it reads.
Right. You can
versus
move your
try
eyes.
To hit the cheap seats.
Exactly. You can move your eyes slightly and it's telling a whole different story. And the subtext is there. You don't need to do as much.
So let's talk about some of the other things that I know are a part of your life. Mm-hmm. Because you also have produced several projects. Like what is it that makes you never stop? Because I am fascinated by how much you constantly have going. And I just think it's amazing how much you've put out in the world and how much you continue to create. Is that just because storytelling feels so good to you? Mm-hmm. Or you get bored so you want to go to the next thing? What is the secret sauce?
It's all of those things. I don't like to be bored. I don't like sitting back twiddling my thumbs. As much as sometimes I miss it when we could be able to do that back in the 80s. Like, I remember a time when you had so much time in the day, you actually sat back and twiddled your thumbs. But I don't really want to do that. And I do love storytelling. I think that's why we're all here. That's why we can't live a life by ourselves. That's why civilization is important. It's about storytelling. It's about the stories that you receive. They affect you. You're impinged by them. And so I love to do that. And also, I think the bigger thing is I don't want to live a life of regret. I recently had a close friend who was in the industry. He was 29. He was an amazing actor, amazing director, and he recently passed away at the beginning of this month from a heart attack. which is so bizarre because I just know. I was like, oh, I want him to direct this episode, and I've directed him in short films and all of these things. And I just knew he had so much more to give to this world. And it was a reminder that you never know how long we have here. So live your best life. Live the life that you want to live, because you only get to live it once. Who knows what happens after that point? And I don't want to have a life where I didn't do everything that I could, that I was able to, and I just was afraid. And I do have moments of fear, but then I have to tell my ego, take your ass to the corner because you're on punishment. We got shit to do. Stop it. Stop. I realized, and it was funny. I was listening to an audio book. It's called, I think it's called Thinking Big by Tara Moore. I have to look it up, but I can send it to you in a tweet or something. I was listening to this audio book, and she was talking about, oh my gosh, I lost my train of thought.
Putting your ego in the corner because right. It's on punishment right. Was where you had started. I love that
yes.
So much.
She was talking about not to abuse the ego, because one, the ego is always going to be there. And the ego is really there to protect you. So in the audiobook, she talks about how to talk to the ego, saying, I know why you're doing this. I appreciate it and I thank you, but I got this. And so instead of cursing out my ego, which I have done in the past, I said to my ego, I get it. I know you are trying to protect us, but I got this. We're going to get through. Come along on a ride with me. So I don't put the ego in punishment as much anymore, because I know that the ego is there to protect me, to protect my feelings, which is fine. You know, we all need protection. However, if we don't face the fear and do it anyway, mm-hmm. We can't grow. We can't move forward.
Oh, this is so good.
Yeah, this is an 85-year-old Black woman with wisdom. She lives inside me. She comes out and she says some wise things sometimes.
I'm so glad she came to talk with us today, because yes. Holy crap, this is good.
Yes. Bessie is in there. She'll come out and put some knowledge.
Bessie, all right.
Yes, I named her Bessie. One day I'm going to put her on camera.
I wonder. Oh, my God, yes. That's the next series, right?
Yeah.
Moments with Bessie. So let's talk about that. What are some of the things that you created that you're particularly proud of or want to promote? Where can folks find all your goodies?
Well, my website is TamikaRS.com. It's in the process of being revamped. So every night I kind of take it down and I work on it a little bit. And then I'll put the current one back up, because it does need a reboot. However, when you do other people's websites for a living, your stuff always takes the back seat, unfortunately. But I am rebranding that. There are several things I'm excited about. One of my SMFA wins is that I got a new commercial agent. I am signed with SBV, and I love those ladies over there. They are so amazing. And because of you, I now have this amazing commercial agent that's been in the business for 30 years. And so I'm just excited about working with them.
I'm so thrilled. They're a fantastic team.
Yes. I will be in an independent feature. It's a Lionsgate independent feature called Dirty 30. It's coming out in September. I have a small role in that with Hannah Hart, Grace Helbig, and Mamie Hart. And they're so amazing. And I get to play this drunk book club member talking about my boobs. That was in the script. So I'm like, I'm perfect for this role.
Meant for you.
Right. You can't see the boobs, but just know they take up a lot of the pictures when I take pictures. They like dominate pictures. It's like, oh my God. So ridiculous. And the last thing I'm excited about is I will be performing in International City Theater's production of Doubt, which will be up August 17th through September 11th. I'm so excited, because whenever I do a branding class with you or somewhere else, Viola Davis is always, or the essence of Viola Davis is always in that circle that I get. And so I will be playing Mrs. Muller from that piece. And I am just so excited. We just started rehearsals this week and it's an amazing, beautiful theater. And I'm just blessed. It feels surreal. It feels so surreal because, again, when you've done a lot of 99C theater shows, which is amazing and great, and to actually tear up finally. I mean, I've done bigger scale shows, a few, not a lot, on the East Coast, but this is my first big tear up theater-wise here since moving to the West Coast. It feels great. Like I have to remind myself I belong here. And the director told us on our first rehearsal, she was like, just so that you all know, you all have earned your place at this table. We saw well over 100 people for these four parts, which is rare in theater. And I actually know some people that auditioned for all of the parts. And so it's an honor. And it feels like I've put in the work, you know, these years I've done it and I've stayed strong. And even though I thought about quitting, I did not quit. I did not quit. So I'm excited about doing that. And there are other things that I've done and you can check them out on my website. I'm excited about those things too.
How do you not quit? Because you do have those moments where you feel like you're coming close to that decision. What is it for you specifically that caused you to say, not today?
I think of that quote that I'm always saying that my aunt impinged on me for years and years and years to never give up 5 minutes before the miracle. When I would go home for Christmas and I was like, oh, I don't know, Anibet, I think I want to move back. You know, I put in a good few years and I had some success and it was so great. And she was like, but why are you going to quit now? Because the miracle is right around the corner. And I'm like, but the miracle is taking forever. This is the longest 5 minutes ever. And she was like, stay strong. The miracle is right around the corner. And she has since passed on, but I know I still hear her saying it whenever I have moments of, or if it's slow and I'm like, oh, okay, maybe my time is up. Maybe I've done everything I could do. I could hear her saying, really? Because you know that miracle is right there. As soon as you quit, that miracle is going to be right there. And I don't want to be like, damn it, that miracle was right there and I gave up 5 minutes too early. And I don't want to have that regret. That is the worst feeling ever. That is the worst feeling ever. So that's what keeps me going. And again, surrounding yourself with amazing people like you, like my co-producers from the Black Women's State of the Union, they're all in this and they, you know, they know me. They're like, don't give up. And I do the same thing for them when they need it. I'm like, we can't give up. We are too talented. We are here for a purpose. We have things to do. We have stories to tell. Shit, let's do it.
Woo! I went to church and it's not even Sunday. Wow.
Need some church in your life every now and again.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, Tamika Simpkins, one last time, remind everybody how to stay in touch with you on social media and online, please. Mm-hmm.
So my website is Tamika RS, that's R as in Robert, S as in Sam, .com. And I am rebranding my website. It used to be redrosedp.com and it was like that for a year, but as I am practicing when I'm preaching, I am rebranding my own business, which is now called Red Rose Studios. And I just have a landing page there while it's being rebooted, redrose.studio.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. You got one of those fancy new URLs.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to put that in the show notes to make sure you can land on that and check out y'all goodies.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Tamika, sweetheart, thank you. I'm so happy to have you back on the show. I can't wait to do it again and again.
Yes, and I see Julia online. Hi, Julia. Shout out to you. Thank you so much for being here. I love that girl. I love her.
Me too. Me too. It's a part of that same, like, having that good community around you. Great people.
Exactly.
She's one of them.
It's important. I love you. Thank you so much.
I love you, sweetheart.
All right, my friends, this has been Bonnie Gillespie for another episode of The Work. Thank you so much for joining me here. Please join me over at BonnieGillespie.com for all sorts of goodness between episodes. And until next time, stay ninja.